It's Wednesday, August 26th, and I'd like to talk to you about something that's on my heart. So I'm going to pause our study in Hebrews chapter 3, and I hope you'll listen very carefully. I'm burdened. News reports, not just recent ones, but over the last several years, have increased my concern that the church is lacking something. We're losing a sense of the true and beautiful fear of the Lord that Solomon said is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. It's the fear of the Lord that generates wisdom and understanding. And without this fear of the Lord as a foundation, as scripture comes to mind, if the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? You know, David was wrestling with this same thing, and in Psalms 36 wrote, there's a word in my heart, he said, concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. And here's what he observed as he was pondering the sinfulness of the wicked. He says, there's no fear of God. There's no fear of the Lord before their eyes. But in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to even detect or to hate their own wickedness. And when men do not understand or do not have the fear of the Lord, they don't have the wisdom and understanding to recognize and detect the things that God considers wrong. Instead, they're simply doing what's right in their own eyes. And we know from the scripture that when the people do what's right in their own eyes, this is evil in the eyes of the Lord. So we need to understand the fear of the Lord. And what a protection, what a form of grace and mercy it is to us. So, what is the fear of the Lord? Let's try to get a better understanding of it. It doesn't mean that we're terrified, although the Greek word for fear of the Lord is the word phobia. It's where we get the medical term for phobia, with the many types of phobias that men have. So there is an element of fear. But the fear of the Lord is basically an understanding by faith that it is God who made the universe, a holy God, a righteous God who made the universe. It's an awareness that a holy God who created the heavens and the earth, created the heavens and the earth with laws that are inspired and infused with his holy character. Now, we know that the earth has become contaminated by sin. And so we're dealing with a corruption that is in the world. It's affected all of creation. It's affected our own physical bodies. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth out of his holiness. So creation has in its nature its laws and its systems that God has made. They are all made with his holiness. So the fear of the Lord is a recognition that all the laws of the universe were made by a holy God. It's an awareness that his instructions come out of his holiness. His commandments, his decrees, his teachings, his desire for us are all bathed in, infused with his righteousness and holiness. And then when we understand the Lord properly in this way, when we revere him, when we honor him, when we esteem him, then we are careful to consider his word, his instructions, his commands, because we find in them that they are good, that because they were made from his righteousness. They are made in and with his holiness. And it's this understanding that prevents us from merely living according to our own desires. One of the scriptures in the Psalm says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs also says this, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man away from the snares of death. And what caused men to become ensnared? James says that men are tempted when of their own lust or desires, they are drawn away and enticed. And then when sin has conceived, it gives birth to death. And then when death is full grown, it results in, or when sin is full grown, it results in death. But the beginning of the temptation is the luring by men's desires. And if the fear of the Lord is not within our hearts, we will succumb to being lured away by our own desires. But the proverb says that the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. In other words, the truths of God, the understanding of God, the wisdom of God, the proper respect and reverence for God will well up within us when we're being tempted and will prevent us from being treated like an animal. Satan baits us and lures us and traps us like animals by enticing us through our own desires. And the fear of the Lord in our heart is there and will protect us from just yielding to our own desires and becoming ensnared by them. And this is in agreement with what Paul said in Galatians, that if we will be led by the Spirit, if we will walk in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We'll be tempted by them. We may even suffer in struggling with them because, like all creation, we groan. We have the first fruit of the Spirit. We have this deposit, but we groan inwardly, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling because the body we're dealing with now has been tainted. It has been corrupted by sin. But the Holy Spirit is there, and He is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit fills our inner man with the fear of the Lord. And as when we properly fear the Lord, when we love the Lord, and we revere the Lord in the right way, that when we're tempted, His word, His truth, His commands through the Holy Spirit's ministry well up with inside of us and show us the way of escape. As Paul wrote, that no temptation is taken us, but is common to man, but the Lord's faithful. And He won't allow us to be tempted above what we're able, but along with the temptation, will provide a way of escape so that we may bear up under it. And we will often find that way of escape through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When the fear of the Lord wells up within us and shows us the truth about that desire, that it is a deceitful lust. Men are corrupt through deceitful lust. That's what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, that we're to put off the old man, which is being corrupted according to its deceitful lust. We are being lured away by Satan through a deceitful lust. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit will cause the fear of the Lord and the word of truth to well up within us so we can see the way of escape, so that we will not choose to yield to what we're being enticed by, but instead, through faith, we will be led by the Spirit. We will walk in the Spirit, who will guide us into the truth of what's genuinely best. How many young people are yielding to just the desire to experience sexual intimacy before and outside of the covenant of marriage? When, according to the fear of the Lord and the perfect and holy word of God, that sexual intimacy was designed by God and intended to be experienced in the holy covenant of marriage between one man and one woman. And without that understanding that that is God's best, He knows that it is the best way for men and women to experience the beauty of the sexual intimacy. But Satan has corrupted that. And when he has undermined the fear of the Lord, he has led men and women into all kinds of corrupt forms of sexual intimacy, sinning against the holy and righteous laws of God, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. And without the fear of the Lord, they don't even detect that this activity is wrong in the eyes of God, that it is not His best. It is not the way He intended for men and women to experience His blessing. Many of the wonderful things that we can experience this life came from the heart of God, and it is Satan and sin who has entered the world and corrupted them. And without the fear of the Lord in our hearts, we don't even detect these deceitful desires. We don't recognize the corruption and the perversion of God's best. And we allow ourselves to be enticed and entangled and often ruined by our own choices. There is a Proverbs that says that a man's own folly ruins his life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. The word for folly in the Septuagint, it means a lack of a disciplined mind. Well, where does the lack of a disciplined mind come from? What caused a person to not have a disciplined, trained mind? The lack of the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. Or you can translate it this way. It's the fear of the Lord that generates wisdom. It is a proper understanding and reverence for God that causes a person to look for what pleases God. What does God say about His ways? Because all His ways, the ways of wisdom, they're pleasant ways. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, making wise the simple, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes. The judgment of the Lord are true. They're righteous altogether. And it says the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And we need the clean, pure understanding of the fear of the Lord, because our fallen desires have been corrupted and they are deceitful. And those deceitful desires are what caused the old man to be corrupted. And we need to put off the old man, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And we need to be made new in the attitude of our mind. And part of the renewing of our mind will be a greater and greater understanding of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not just an Old Testament concept. The fear of the Lord is a grace. It is a mercy. It is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ was perfect in the fear of the Lord. He was anointed with the oil of joy above His companions because He loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. He hated evil. And the Bible says it is the fear of the Lord to hate evil. We will not even detect or hate evil, the evil that ruins us, the evil that steals and kills and destroys, the evil that the devil uses to entice us into self-destruction. to ruin ourselves by our lack of a trained mind. Without the fear of the Lord, this beautiful grace and mercy, we don't detect what destroys us. But through the fear of the Lord, our minds become renewed so that we can begin to discern what is the good and perfect, pleasing will of God. And through this renewing of our mind, we experience a transformation, a cleansing, a renewing. We begin to be saved from the bondage to deceitful lust. And the Holy Spirit begins to renew our souls and cleanse us from the corrupt morality and the corrupt ignorance that we had when we continually yielded to those deceitful, sinful, carnal, fleshly desires. So I want to encourage us as believers to reconsider whether we are genuinely experiencing and walking in the fear of the Lord. Now, we may have it one time, but just because we have understood the fear of the Lord does not mean that we are living in the fear of the Lord now. Remember what our Lord Jesus said, that to be very careful how you hear, because with the measure that you use will be measured to you. And if we are using the fear of the Lord, if we're living by the fear of the Lord, if the fear of the Lord is something that we're conscious of every day, well then, it's according to how we're using the fear of the Lord that it's going to be measured back to us. To him who has this fear of the Lord, who's living by the fear of the Lord, more shall be given. And he will have an abundance of the fear of the Lord, this fountain of living water that saves a man from the snares of death. But if we are not living regularly in the fear of the Lord, if we're not using the fear of the Lord, then even what we think we have, we'll think we have the fear of the Lord, we'll think we properly honor and revere God, so that even what we think we have will be taken from us, just like it was from Solomon, who turned away from the living God and ended up forsaking the Lord through marrying foreign women and building them temples, so that in the last it says he did not revere the Lord or fear the Lord in the end as he had at first. And the Lord was angry with Solomon and pronounced a judgment upon his family line. And this unfaithfulness that Solomon introduced into the people of Israel had ramifications for many, many generations. Just like those of us, if we are not using the fear of the Lord, if we're not seeking to grow in understanding this beauty of the fear of the Lord, then even what we think we have, even the understanding of the fear of the Lord that we think we have, shall be taken from us, and we will slowly experience living like the Gentiles do, which Paul warned about. He said to not live like the Gentiles in the vanity of their minds, because they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. And having lost all sensitivity, they give themselves over to a lack of restraint with a continual lust for even more and more. And only a believer being filled with the Holy Spirit, being inspired, receiving even more and more of the fear of the Lord, which is also generating wisdom and understanding, which is clean, enlightening the eyes, rejoicing the heart, enduring forever. The believer being filled with the fear of the Lord will be able to withstand it. The fear of the Lord in the believer will become a fountain of life and will turn the believer away from the snares of death. Those snares that we end up walking into by our own choices, yielding to the deceitful lust instead of being led by the Spirit, loving the Lord, fearing Him, and revering His commands and His laws properly. And this fear of the Lord, that I'm desiring to make sure I walk in, and that I'm pleading with you to consider, are you walking in? And I want to encourage you to pursue it, because this fear of the Lord, the true understanding of experience and experiencing the fear of the Lord, is not anything passive. Let me read from you from Proverbs chapter 2, how intentional coming to understand the fear of the Lord is. I'll read from Proverbs chapter 2, just about the entire chapter. My son, if you receive my words, the same word there is in James chapter 1, verse 12, that we must receive in meekness the word of truth, which is able to save our souls. If we receive the words of the Lord and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's only the person who is intentionally, actively, persistently pursuing wisdom and understanding and insight and discernment. And the reason such a person is pursuing them, because by faith they understand that the fear of the Lord is clean. This fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, there to protect us from living according to our own deceitful lust. Just consider how many young people do we know? How many husbands do we know? How many wives do we know? How many ministers or deacons do we know? How many priests do we know? How many reports have we heard of someone who has been fully exposed, even raised in a Christian home, fully exposed to the teaching of the gospel, choosing to yield to a deceitful desire, ruining themselves by their own choice when there was grace and mercy available? This is what is concerning to me. Our Lord Jesus warned that in the last days, due to the increase of lawlessness, the love of the many would wax cold. And why would lawlessness increase? Because the fear of the Lord is not there. Through the fear of the Lord, men seek to understand and know and live by the law of the Lord. Through the fear of the Lord, we understand that God's laws were made out of His goodness, that the law is holy and righteous and good. And the law was not even made for good men, because righteous men do those things out of their heart and out of a love for God. But the law was laid forth to prevent bad men and corrupt men from living according to their own fallen morality. But without the fear of the Lord, there's no appreciation or searching out or looking to the law of the Lord as our own guide and moral compass. So now, men are more and more doing what's right in their own eyes. They're seeking to live by their own deceitful lust. And what fear of the Lord they might have had if they're not actually using it, if they're not living by it, if they're not walking in the fear of the Lord, what they think they have is being taken from them. And more they are simply living according to what they think is right. And this is the part of the nature of the deceitfulness of sin. If you're doing what you think is right, because you've not received the love of the truth, then you're not alarmed. A person in the beginning, when they have been instructed in the truth, when their conscience is still tender and is not lost sensitivity, they wrestle, and they wrestle with guilt. They feel convicted of their sin. But the longer a person spends away from the light, not coming to the light, losing what sense of the fear of the Lord he have, their mind becomes darkened like the Gentiles. Their mind becomes vain. The word for vanity really means it's not tied to anything solid. And the most solid thing in the universe is the word of the Lord, because the heavens and the earth will pass away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. When a person's way of thinking, when their understanding is not founded upon and established through and filled with the truth of the word of God, their thoughts are mere vanity. They've come from nowhere. They're subjective. They've created them themselves. They've come from feeling, or they've come from the influence from society, so that they are either being led away by deceitful lust, or they're actually leading others through these deceptive ideas, these vain ideas that they've created on their own. And when men do not receive the love of the truth, and especially this truth about the protection and the beauty and the necessity of the proper fear of the Lord, then what happens is God himself will send them a strong delusion. God, what else can he do? If men have refused to love the truth, if he has sought to bring them up in the way and the nurture of the Lord, if he has appealed to men through prophets, through preachers, through teachers, through deacons, through godly parents, and if all of God's attempts to save men through the truth are rejected, and instead a person chooses to believe their own subjective ideas and embrace their own feeling-based and desire-based morality, well, then God simply removes his corrective hand, his disciplinary hand. And what does he send them? What's the strong delusion he sends them? They feel secure because they're doing what's, quote-unquote, right in their own eyes, so they lose a sense of guilt. They lose sensitivity to conviction, and they feel comforted. They don't feel any alarm, and they feel somehow, even in living according to their own desires, what's right in their own eyes, they feel that they're doing what's right. They don't feel that they are sinful. They don't feel that they're rebellious, because there is no fear of God before their eyes. So they flatter themselves too much. That's part of what God's delusion is. They feel good about themselves. They'll defend themselves. They'll tell you, don't you judge me. I'm careful. I try to do what's right. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to even detect or to hate their own wickedness. And God gives them over to this self-comforting, self-defending morality. Paul explained this in Romans chapter 1. Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the full knowledge of God in their minds, he gave them over to a depraved mind, literally a disapproved mind, to do what ought not to be done. anything contrary to the laws, God's physical laws in the universe, the laws of His nature that are infused with His holiness, the laws of heaven and earth that He created from His righteousness and through His wisdom. When men do what ought not to be done, they are acting against the goodness of God's laws and the goodness of His ways and the righteousness of that He instilled and infused His creation with. And when they do that, when they begin to do what ought not to be done, what happens? They receive in themselves the due penalty for their perversions. They have perverted their own way. They have rejected the law of the Lord. They have rejected His holiness and His righteousness because there is no fear of God before their eyes. And in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to even detect or hate what they're doing. Instead, they're given a false sense of comfort and assurance. And in their minds, all is well. They are not aware that what's actually happening is that they are storing up wrath for themselves on the day of judgment. Paul warned, don't let anyone deceive you with vain sounding arguments. For because of such things, because of actions that are contrary to God's holy and righteous laws, men are going to experience the judgment of God, the eventual destruction of all those who've rejected the pure and holy and righteous laws of God because they did not choose to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Beware of a misunderstanding that I've heard, I even contemplated this myself, by not understanding a verse in 1 John that says that the man who fears is not made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with torment. But he's not talking about the fear of the Lord. Perfect love casts out the fear of judgment. When we perfectly love the Lord, we embrace His ways. We seek to know Him. We receive and cherish and honor and live by His word. We seek to understand His will. We want to find out the things that are pleasing to Him, and we do them. And when we are loving Him that way with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our might, and all of our strength, this is very much similar to fearing Him in the right way, revering Him, honoring Him. When we're living this way, there's no fear of judgment because we're walking in the light. And even if we do sin, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us or cleanses us from all sin. That's if we're walking in the light, because the law of the Lord is enlightening. And we understand the law of the Lord when we understand the fear of the Lord. It is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning. It's what generates wisdom. It is the foundation for a life that properly understands God, that seeks to detect and those things that are right in His eyes, because there's an understanding that He is holy, He is righteous, and He is good. Therefore, all that He created, all the laws of nature, all the laws of heaven and earth are also holy and righteous and good. And we seek to experience life as He intended, as He designed, We're not foolish. We're seeking to understand what the will of the Lord is, and the Lord desires us to fear Him. Do you know that the Scripture says multiple times that through the book of Psalms that His faithful love is upon those who fear Him and who keep His covenant? And this is so important for us. We need to fear the Lord and keep His covenant. May the Lord bless you.